Let us pray. Almighty God, as we await the coming of your Son, grant us ears to hear your word and hearts to embrace your truth, so that we may be ready to receive him with joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, good morning. My name is Donya Xidong Ni. I'm an international student who just finished the first year of study as a theological student at Wycliffe College. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and in just 2 days, it will be Christmas Eve. By now, our anticipation for Christmas must be running high. I was born and raised in Shanghai, where the Christmas atmosphere is always very festive. Even during my childhood, Christmas traditions were already part of my life. My earliest Christmas memory is about Santa Claus. Every year, my mom would hang a stocking by my bedside for me to receiving gifts. One year, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I checked that stocking. It was empty. And in the second morning, it was still empty. I was heartbroken and thought, did I behave particularly bad this year so that Santa decided not to come? Just as I was feeling sad, my mom came in with a huge box of Lego bricks. It turned out the gift was simply too big to fit in my stocking. Throughout my childhood and teenage years, I was a staunch materialist, a Marxist. Not only that, but I also had negative impressions toward Christian faith because of its history full of conflicts and scandals. When a high school classmate brought me to her church and shared the gospel with me, I resisted vehemently and debated with all of them. Yeah. Looking back now as a seminarian student called by God, I realized that I was like that little stocking, completely unfit to hold the greatest gift of my life. Human beings are creatures made from dust. Yet, God cares for them, as Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 states. Though all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, we are now justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are unworthy vessels, yet we have been made to hold the greatest gift, the redemption God offers through Christ Jesus. In today's Old Testament lesson, we see that Bethlehem was also an unworthy vessel. Micah chapter 5, verse 1 to 3 is a messianic prophecy similar to Isaiah 7:14, which foretells a virgin giving birth. During the time of the divided kingdoms of Israel and Judah, Israel appeared to be the stronger nation. It had 10 tribes, a more prosperous economy, and a culture more aligned with other nations, which is very, very luxurious and also international. Archaeological finds show that its capital, Samaria, was a wealthy cosmopolitan city. In contrast, Judah was small, and its town of Bethlehem was even smaller. Yet, God chose Bethlehem to welcome the incarnation of his word. Bethlehem was also the hometown of David. In Micah chapter 4 to 5, beyond its messianic implications, the text more immediately points to the restoration of the Davidic kingship. Today, David seems far from insignificant to us, but originally he was small. If today, a handsome, talented, and a devout young man like David comes to our church, everyone would rush to sit at his table during the coffee hour. Yet, when the prophet Samuel was sent to anoint David, he didn't see David as we see. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, Samuel brought a heifer to Bethlehem and met Jesse, not knowing who God's chosen one was. He first saw Eliab and thought it was him. But the Lord said, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Jesse's seven sons passed before Samuel one by one, but none of them was chosen. Finally, when Samuel asked if Jesse had any other sons, Jesse replied, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." The Hebrew word for youngest is katan, which can mean young in age and also small and unimportant. David was small, low in rank and smaller in stature compared to his brothers. Neither Samuel nor Jesse initially imagined that David was the one God has chosen. Interestingly, God didn't tell Samuel, "Go to Jesse's house and make sure the youngest son isn't out keeping sheep because I've chosen him." Instead, God gradually unfolded the story, showing Samuel that he had chosen someone small. In today's gospel reading, we see that Mary, too, was small. Luke's account of Jesus' birth is very special as it provides both royal and priestly perspectives of Jesus' genealogy. Luke places Jesus' royal lineage through Joseph in chapter 3, while highlighting his priestly background in chapter 1 through Mary's relationship with Aaron. Luke 1:36 notes that Mary was a relative of Elizabeth, a descendant of Aaron, which also ties Mary to a notable lineage. However, this ancestry brought Mary no practical benefit in her daily life. She was low profile before being caught. Once, a former client of mine said, "Can two Christians just leave Mary alone? She was just an ordinary village woman. Why did she have to deal with an unplanned pregnancy, lose her son to crucifixion as a criminal, and still get elevated to such a high status? Couldn't she have just lived a quiet and ordinary life?" Well, Mary might be an ordinary village woman in Nazareth. Yet, when God chose and called Mary, she responded, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord." In doing so, she truly became the favored one, as angel Gabriel called her. In her Magnificat, Mary sang, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me." Great things were done through Mary, this humble vessel. Today's New Testament reading, Hebrews chapter 10, speaks of Christ being Christ's sacrifice only once for all. Before the fifth verse we just read, the author discussed the role of the law first, claiming that the law has only a shadow of the good things. By offering sacrifices continually year after year, people are just reminded of sin year after year. Sin separates humanity from God's holiness and prevents us from standing before the righteous God. However, God does not want us to be cut off from his love. So he sent his son to bring salvation and reconciliation to the world. Verse 5 says, "When Christ come into the world," this reminds us of the manifestation of Christ in the flesh, that he enters into the world. And in verse 7, Christ says, "I have come to do your will." It is the will of God that Christ offer himself, and we are sanctified. Baby Jesus was born in the small town of Bethlehem, born of Mary, became flesh and a sacrifice once for all, died on the cross, was buried, rose again, and sent us the Holy Spirit. What a gift this is! How can we, as small, unworthy, and humble vessels, possibly hold such a great gift? But now, having been called to be children of God, we do hold this gift. Moreover, we are being transformed into new vessels. As Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, "All who cleanse themselves will become special utensils, dedicated and useful to the owner of the house, ready for every good work. Finally, I want to say, my experience of preaching today is also a surprising gift. It's the last Sunday before Christmas Eve, and also the last Sunday before my 37th birthday. It's an incredible birthday gift that this small vessel cannot hold. Yeah. I've always been longing for my first sermon and imagined many different versions. I thought it would be very most likely happen as a presentation for my preaching course. But it is not. It takes place here, right now. After Anthony and I have been to St. George on Yonge for precisely 1 year. Thank you, Reverend Abby.
Thank you.
And thank you all.
Thank you.
As we wait and thank you. As we wait and prepare for the coming of the Lord, let us remember and review how our humble lives have been chosen, cleansed, renewed, and used by God. Let us prepare ourselves to continue doing good work, becoming holy and valuable utensils that proclaim the gospel of Christ. Amen.